Stay informed with the Northwest's only all-news station, Northwest News Radio.
It's 57 degrees. Sun breaks here in downtown Seattle. Still some scattered drizzle and a lot of wind we'll talk about coming up in our forecast. It's 4:02.
I'm Elisa Jaffe with Rick Van Sice, and here's what's happening. Washington State is about to speed up its efforts to house the homeless. Details from Jeff Pogula.
Governor Inslee announced the state will begin buying hotels, motels, and apartment buildings. The idea is that these existing properties can be more quickly converted to supportive housing than building something new. The program is made possible by funding the legislature approved earlier this year.
And I'm extremely pleased that the legislature joined me in making sure that we have rapid supportive housing so we can get people off of our right-of-ways, out of our parks, out of squalor, provide them supportive services and into shelter on a quick order.
Also part of the program, according to the governor, is an effort to clear homeless encampments from state property, most notably freeways. Jeff Pogula, Northwest News Radio.
Getting closer, a county council committee has put Patty Cole Tyndall one final step away from becoming the next sheriff of King County. John Lobertini explains.
The consensus seemed to be the next sheriff had to be different.
Sheriff Cole Tyndall's candidacy, why it's so compelling.
Patty Cole Tyndall, not your typical cop. She's worked in state gaming, on labor issues, and law enforcement oversight.
And I think that's what gives me a unique perspective and a different lens.
A different approach to policing, like dealing with mental health issues.
We already have a program where we have a mental health professional riding with a law enforcement officer so that when they get that call, the right person is there.
The King County Sheriff's Department has been criticized for its handling of officer-involved shootings.
State law reforms now prohibit law enforcement agencies from doing their own investigation. An independent investigative team would conduct any officer-involved shooting.
Her final confirmation is expected next Tuesday. John Lobertini, Northwest News Radio.
A startling discovery in Bellevue, where a city employee found what appears to be human remains. The employee was working this morning along 150th Place Northeast near Northeast 6th when they saw the bones in a wetlands area. Police say it appears the bones had been there for several years. A state anthropologist looked at pictures of the bones and says they are likely human.
Still ahead.
Affordable housing effort puts Amazon on top. I'm Corwin Hake with the new king of corporate donations.
It's 4:04. Let's get to Marina Rockinger with our traffic every 10 minutes on the fours. And we've got a lot of power outages that could be affecting things.
We do. And if you come to an intersection where the power is out and the lights aren't working, of course, you have to treat that as an all-way stop. It's really busy, heavy traffic right now. Northbound 405 is solid, leaving the South Center area through Renton Pass 167 up towards the Maple Valley Highway where there was an earlier collision. Southbound 167, bumper to bumper solid, leaving Renton down towards 180th where we had an earlier collision that's off to the side, but that's why it's solid. Southbound I-5 heavy coming out of the Duwamish curves down to 200th. In Factoria, Coal Creek Parkway southbound between Forest and North Southeast 60th blocked because of an arcing power line due to a fallen tree. Southbound 405 solid in Bellevue, 520 to Coal Creek, westbound I-90 now really struggling from 148th, 150th to 405. Southbound I-5 bumper to bumper from Lake City Way into Seattle. And in the South Sound region, southbound I-5 heavy from Highway 18 through 5. Next, Northwest traffic at 414.
Let's talk about the windy weather. The 1530mortgage.com Weather Center forecast. Now, the wind advisory until 8 o'clock tonight for southwest gusts to 45 miles an hour. We've seen winds sustained across Seattle at about 25 miles an hour here this afternoon. Chance of showers mid-40s overnight. Some showers possible tomorrow near 60. And then the sunshine lasts Friday through the weekend, warming us to the upper 60s. Hang in. It's some nice weather coming. 56 at SeaTac Airport, 57 in downtown Seattle. And our Northwest News Time now, 4:06.
It looks like the heart of Washington's agriculture is going to remain in a drought, at least through the summer. Ryan Harris explains.
Don't let the wet spring fool you. It was good for western Washington, but the latest map from the U.S. Drought Monitor shows much of eastern Washington in either moderate or severe drought. Jeff Marty with the Department of Ecology says there's one area along the Columbia Basin in extreme drought.
Where it's some of the lowest in a record going back over a century, the chances of ending the drought last 4 months with our normally dry time of year is really pretty remote.
It's too soon to tell if that means water restrictions for farmers, but the experts do seem confident that even though it'll be a warm summer, record heat like we saw last year is unlikely. They couldn't predict smoke conditions for the summer, but with the West so dry, we can expect wildfires that will have our air pretty smoky at times. Ryan Harris, Northwest News Radio.
Following years of discussion, four Tacoma Catholic parishes are being merged into one. The Catholic Church has struggled to recruit priests. Membership has declined, and many of the buildings are in disrepair. Seattle Archdiocese spokesperson Helen McClenahan says the merger causes grief for some, but it's also a time to celebrate their faith.
Pope Francis, he put out a letter in 2005 about the need for us as Catholics to read the signs of the times and to adjust accordingly, so we're not just preserving a church that is dwindling, but we are changing so that we can do a better job evangelizing.
The merger effort gained momentum after parts of Holy Rosary Church collapsed in 2018. The church was closed and eventually slated for demolition. The school building at Holy Rosary is currently a homeless shelter.
New data from Zillow shows a shift in where home values are rising the fastest. The report says houses in the suburbs are appreciating in value faster than urban homes, only adding to the competition for scarce inventory. The typical home in the Seattle suburbs rose in value by about $146,000 in the past year, while a house in the city appreciated by $120,000. Before the pandemic, urban homes were rising in value faster, and the shift comes as more and more people work remotely.
The asking price for rent nationwide has slowed down for the first time in a year, but there's no relief for renters in Seattle. Here's Kathy O'Shea with more.
According to Seattle-based Redfin, the median rent for available apartments rose 15% nationwide in April. In Seattle, however, that figure jumped by 31%. Only Austin, Texas, and Portland, Oregon had larger jumps. The median rent for available apartments in Seattle was just over $2,900 per month, making it the 15th most expensive metro area for renters. Kathy O'Shea, Northwest News Radio.
For the first time ever, Amazon has topped Microsoft in one key measure, charitable donations. Corwin Hake explains.
Amazon first, Microsoft second, Boeing third. That's the ranking the Puget Sound Business Journal has announced for local companies' philanthropic giving last year. Amazon has never made the top three before, let alone the top spot. But this year, the journal reports, the retail and software colossus leapt to the front by donating nearly $97 million locally, much of it to its own charity, the Amazon Housing Equity Fund. A company promotional video says Amazon builds or buys up housing to preserve it in perpetuity as affordable to families earning 50 to 80% of their area's median income.
Coming in to preserve the affordability levels that are still there before rents are pushed beyond the reach of lower income people.
Microsoft may have been topped, but it is still no slouch. According to the Business Journal, the Redmond Company's local donations last year hit $74 million. Corwin Hake, Northwest News Radio.
And still ahead.
Attention, class of 2024, we'll pay for your college. I'm Brian Calvert with the unique program and where it's available.
The Sounders and Mariners with tough Wednesday night road games. Bill Swartz with a preview in this Beacon Plumbing Sports Update.
Seattle's baseball team wraps a three-game series in Toronto tonight against a Blue Jay squad with great pitching, including tonight's starter, Kevin Gausman. He's throwing right now. He loves to get ground ball outs. What's the key when facing this right-hander?
Gausman's a really good pitcher. He's a quality fastball, you know, the split changeup thing he throws and the slider. So he's really aggressive. He does not walk people. You know, I think he's only walked one or two guys all year. So, you know that going into the box, you got to get ready to hit, get on time, hopefully get on a fastball and do some damage against it.
M's manager Scott Service counting on a solid start from lefty Marco Gonzalez. Last night's Aqua Sox game against Hillsboro postponed because of COVID. Well, it's game on at Everett's Funko Field, 7:05 tonight. The Sounders have back-to-back Major League Soccer road matches this week. Tonight, the Houston Dynamo, Sunday, Colorado. Terrific news for the Seattle Storm. Stewie's back. Brianna Stewart cleared from the WNBA health and safety protocol. She's active for tonight's home game against the defending champ Chicago Sky. Game one of the NBA Western Finals, Dallas at Golden State. Sports with Swartz at 10:40 after the hour, Northwest News Radio.
A unique initiative is underway, setting out to pay for 2 years of vocational school or college for any student who wants it. And as Brian Calvert tells us, the new program is being called a game changer for many Washington families.
Many times it's not do you or don't you want to go to college, it's just that you can't afford to go.
The Farmer High School counselor, affordability is one of the main points of students accessing their post-secondary options.
Scott Kerwin is now director of student services in Spokane Public Schools.
And this just offers that shred of hope, especially coming out of COVID, that it can be possible.
He's referring to Launch Northwest, a scholarship program being made available by the Innovia Foundation. The idea, scholarship money for any Eastern Washington High School senior so that they can have their tuition paid for to get more education. Launch Northwest Executive Director Ben Small tells our news partner KXLY.
When we take a look at the hope that our communities have for the future, at the base of that hope has to be our young people and the ability for our young people to pursue their passion.
The College Scholarship Fund is growing thanks to donations, grants, and even federal money, and is expected to get as high as $150 million. The idea is to begin offering the scholarship money to every high school graduate in Eastern Washington in the year 2024.
It changes the conversation at the dinner table to not can we afford it, to what are you going to do? What's that next step for you as a child? And takes pressure off of our families as they're trying to do what's best for their children.
Brian Calvert, Northwest News Radio.
Top honors for a local library, Manda Factor explains.
The Washington Talking Book and Braille Library in Seattle has received the 2022 Regional Library of the Year Award from the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. It was cited for outstanding service to readers with visual, physical, or print disabilities. The award includes $1,000 in a commemorative plaque. The library will also be honored at a luncheon in the Thomas Jefferson Building of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. The Washington Talking Book and Braille Library serves more than 7,200 people. Manda Factor, Northwest News Radio.
Well, gas prices have surpassed $4 in every state for the first time ever. That's according to AAA, which largely blames the soaring cost of crude oil. Highest prices in the country in California, topping $6 a gallon now. Here in Washington, the average is $5.15 and more than $5.30 in King County.
It's 4:14. Here's Marina with our traffic every 10 minutes on the fours from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center.
Really slow in so many areas, including northbound I-5 from Lake City Way through Mount Lake Terrace, Linwood, and on up to 164th. Southbound is solid from Lake City Way through Seattle to the West Seattle Bridge. Northbound tough, too, from the north end of Boeing Field up to I-90. Southbound 405, bumper to bumper in Bellevue from 520 past Coal Creek Parkway into the Newcastle area. I do want to mention on Coal Creek Parkway, both directions between Southeast 60th and Forest now blocked because of a tree that came down onto a power line. Southbound 167, that is solid leaving Renton. That's just bumper to bumper past 180th, where there was a collision. It is being reported as being on the right shoulder, but it certainly left that big backup. It's also very difficult southbound I-5 through the Duwamish Curve, south center down to 200. Southbound 167 from Ellingson is struggling into Sumner. Southbound I-5 from Highway 18 into Fife. Next, Northwest traffic at 4:24.
And our update on traffic this time, sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on heating and air conditioning. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN and stop freaking call on Beacon. All right, what about the stormy weather situation from the 1530mortgage.com Weather Center? The forecast from Rebecca Stevenson at Como 4.
Our windy day is going to slowly ease through the evening hours. The wind advisories expire as we get towards 8 o'clock tonight, so the winds will continue to ease off through the evening and overnight. Our Thursday is looking fairly nice but showery. We'll start out cloudy in the morning and then become partly sunny in the afternoon. Rain showers scattered around, especially in the afternoon, and in a convergence zone between Seattle and Everett, those showers will persist. Low temperatures starting out in the upper 30s to mid 40s on Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, high temperatures still below normal in the mid to upper 50s. From the Como 4 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Rebecca Stevenson.
57 in downtown Seattle at 416.
Stay connected. Stay informed. This is Northwest News Radio. Radio 1000, FM 97.7.
Thanks for joining us, our editor, Bill O'Neill. I'm Rick Fansize with Elisa Jaffe.
The Department of Homeland Security is warning law enforcement to prepare for threats from abortion extremists. An internal DHS memo said extremists could attempt to burn down the U.S. Supreme Court, murder justices, members of Congress, and lawful demonstrators.
NATO could soon grow from 30 countries to 32, with Finland and Sweden officially submitting their applications to join the world's largest military alliance. Michael Bierbaum is covering the story for The Washington Post and talk more with Taylor Van Sice.
What can you tell us about the expected timeline for acceptance to NATO?
Sweden and Finland submitted their applications formally today. There's going to be a process. There's going to be a summit of NATO leaders at the end of June. The expectation is that they will formally approve the membership request. And then it would take about 6 months to a year for all the national parliaments to ratify that change and accept them officially as new members.
So it's not an overnight decision, even though there is a broad support for this move from NATO members and within both Sweden and Finland. Is there a vulnerability for these two countries to Russia, Russian aggression, I suppose, in the short term?
Yes, there is. There's a short-term window where before they are actually admitted into the alliance, they've indicated that they want to join. They probably almost certainly will eventually join, but they're kind of sitting ducks because they're not covered by NATO security guarantees until they're actually members. So potentially they are vulnerable. Russia's military is actually, you know, busy in Ukraine right now. Russia's also said it's not planning to do anything too dramatic in response to this membership request. But the big NATO powers have said that they will extend security assistance and guarantees in the short run, even before Sweden and Finland are members.
Is there any notable resistance within NATO to adding another couple of countries?
There is some resistance, and it comes from Turkey. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said repeatedly now that he actually is not totally comfortable admitting Sweden and Finland. He's basically using this as an opportunity to extract some concessions. That's what officials and diplomats tell me. He doesn't like Sweden's policy of extending asylum to the PKK, a Kurdish ethnic organization that is designated a terrorist group both by Turkey and the United States. He doesn't like that. He wants Sweden to change its policies. And he's also looking for some concessions from the United States. The expectation is eventually he'll give in, but he's been a pretty hard no so far.
And finally, is this obviously expanding NATO? It's a big deal. But Finland and Sweden, they're already members of the European Union. Scandinavian countries have a long history of supporting each other through various treaties. Is this as big a deal as some are making it?
It's a very big shift, both for those countries and for NATO itself. Finland and Sweden have been held themselves apart from military alliances for decades. In the case of Sweden, they've proudly been neutral for centuries. And so they're recognizing that they have an extremely dangerous neighbor on their border, on Finland's border. They're nervous. So it's true, they have strong militaries. They're already closely aligned with NATO. But this is a big formal step that does change Europe's security architecture in a big way, and probably one of the biggest ways since the end of the Cold War.
Michael Bierenbaum with us on Northwest News Radio, reporter for The Washington Post. And you can find all of his coverage online at WashingtonPost.com. Michael, thank you.
And that's Taylor Van Sice. Our Northwest News Time now, 4:20. And let's get a check on Wall Street, your StockCharts.com money update. Here's Frank Miller.
Well, stocks sank this Wednesday as retailers were in the red. Target, Walmart, and Amazon among the biggest decliners today. The Dow falling over 1,100 points. The S&P sinking around 160, while the NASDAQ fell over 550. Also souring investors' mood today were recent comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, who said that interest rate hikes may continue to be necessary until inflation is curbed. Light day on the economic front. The Census Bureau said that housing starts slowed down a bit in April. Housing starts came in at an annual rate of 1,724,000. That was down a bit from March. That's your money now.
Monday news at 20 and 50 past every hour. We'll get the latest on traffic and the very windy weather next.
We'll get you there with more traffic reports here than any other Northwest station. Traffic every 10 minutes on the fours. Stay connected, stay informed, and arrive on time with Northwest News Radio 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker.
Hi, guys.